Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Imagine with me two sisters, Sister 1 and Sister 2. Let's say that they are twins. They both grew up together in a loving family. They both were raised in the same loving church. They had all the good opportunities afforded to white middle-class people, all to say there was no challenges of being in any marginalized people group. They lived in an era of prosperity and peace. And they both wanted to make a difference in the world. Imagine two sisters, Sister 1 and Sister 2. They share the same privileged background, but end up living very different lives. Sister 1. Sister 1 studies business, then goes on to law school. While she is interested in nonprofits, she has loans to pay, and the salaries of charities are, well, dismal. She wants a workplace with skilled mentors and opportunities to advance. In the end, she signs on with a big corporate firm. There she builds her career. She even finds a husband in a colleague. In the first few years of marriage, they talk about starting a family, but neither one of them wants to sacrifice their careers, so they resign to being fantastic aunts and uncles. When her mom develops a debilitating disease, she considers taking a leave of absence, but then realizes that nursing isn't a skill that she's honed, and, well, she's rather unsure about the slower pace. So she lets her other sister take the lead and promises financial support instead. That's Sister 1. Fast forward ahead a few years, both her and her husband are partners in the firm, and they're beginning to take life a little easier. They have all sorts of opportunities to sit on the boards of businesses and charities. But, well, he's a golf fanatic, and she likes traveling. So they decide together that for the next stage of life, they're not going to be tied down. They want to be free to travel the world. As for that twin sister, well, she rarely visits her. Their lives now just seem so different. But she and her husband make sure the niece and nephews are given lavish Christmas and birthday gifts. That's Sister 1. So how about Sister 2? Sister 2 also studies business, but ends up in a co-op program where she finds an internship at a small charity. They like her and she likes them. And when she graduates, they offer her a job assisting the business manager. The salary is poor, but she loves their mission, and the work is interesting and diverse. So she takes it. Sister 2 takes it. Already engaged, she is soon married. Family life follows. Baby 1, then a set of twins. Life is full as she juggles her job and her children. Life isn't comfortable, but together they make it work. But then two things happen. Two things happen in Sister 2's life that make those earlier years somehow seem leisurely. Her husband's sister is killed in an automobile accident, and then her own mom gets sick. Her husband's dead sister leaves behind a teenage son without anyone to look after him. His biological father was never part of their lives. So with nowhere to go, she invites him to move in with her young family. That same year, her mom gets sick, diagnosed with lung cancer. Barely able to keep up with the busyness of life, she tries to get help from Sister 1. But with her phone calls always going to voicemail, she decides it's up to her. So she takes on her mom's finances. She arranges for a rotating list of caregivers. She makes weekly trips for appointments and visits. The checks sent by Sister One make it possible for her mom to remain at home, but all the caregiving and managing all the other caregivers is, well, like holding another full-time job. Fast forward a few years for Sister Two. Mom has since died, and the kids are now in college. She is now the business manager of that charity she started at so many years ago. She's still not making much, and with the kids in college, the bank account is almost always empty. Their nephew, the adopted son, is now raising his own children, and she's often called on for babysitting duties. Retirement is a sort of a distant dream, really expensive, unaffordable. So she lives on small rewards, like an upcoming weekend at a friend's cabin. Two sisters, Sister One and Sister Two, two very different lives. So let me ask you, which life would you choose? Sister One or Sister Two? Would you like to be free, exploring the world? Or maybe a little tied down, caring for others? Would you rather wait on others or have others wait on you? In my mind, this question is pretty easy to answer. I mean, I'd rather be enjoying the pool at the Four Seasons than working extra shifts to provide for the extended family. But let me ask a different question. You might like Sister One's life, but would you want her legacy? I mean, of those two sisters, Sister One and Sister Two, whose legacy would you prefer? Would you prefer knowing that you lived your life for others or simply focused most of your time and attention on yourself? I mean, we can even imagine two different funerals or memorials, right? One littered with, you know, a smattering of colleagues who speak of great skills and achievements, and another one packed with friends and family who talk about love and gratitude and sacrifice. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Today, our gospel lesson takes us back to the triumphal entry in chapter 12. I mean, we've been traveling all the way through the Gospel of John, and now we're just sort of skipping back. It's a parade. It's a party. It looks and sounds like a coronation. I mean, people are waving those palm branches, recalling the victory of Judas Maccabeus, who a few generations earlier had defeated pagan invaders and established a short-lived Jewish independence. People are waving palm branches. And Jesus is riding into town on a donkey, an action that echoes the prophet Zechariah and portrays him as the long-awaited Savior. People are quoting the Psalms at him, welcoming him and hailing him, "Blessed is the King of Israel." The Jewish people are celebrating Jesus. Even some Greeks are begging to meet him. And Jesus' opponents are lamenting, "Look how the whole world has gone after him." I mean, if Jesus had a campaign manager, I'm sure that she would tell him that the time is ripe for him to make a bid for the leadership of all the people of Israel. "Go on, Jesus. Time is right. Take your place." Well, Jesus does know his hour has come. That's significant if you're reading through the Gospel of John, right? Lots of times where he says, "My hour, it's not time. Now is the time," is what he says. But for Jesus, it's not the hour to take hold of privileges, but to offer himself to God in obedience, in his own words, to do the will of him who sent me. Jesus' glorification will not be being acclaimed by the people around him or making others bow down before him, but to offer his life, his very life. Why? So he might lose none of those whom God has given him, but that by believing in him, they might have eternal life. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Now let's be honest. What Jesus proceeds to do, he will do in a unique way. He will offer his life for humanity. He will stand alone against the power of sin and death, so the rest of us won't have to. But, and keep this in mind, but Jesus is also pioneering a route along which his servants, his followers, must go after him. If, like the Greeks, right, we're the Gentiles, we want to see him, to get to know him and understand what he's about for ourselves, well, we must get ready to be planted in the same way, to risk all in service. Let me say that again. We must be ready to be planted in the same way, to risk all in service. Will this involve death? Yes. A death to personal dreams and ambitions. Talk to Sister 2 about that. Will this involve sacrifice? You bet. It will mean doing things you don't want to do in order to serve God, to follow God's purposes. Jesus calls us to a costly obedience. And Jesus also reminds us that the rewards are infinite. The legacy is great. All who hate life, that is, reject their selfish ambition in preference for God and God's kingdom, will be given what? Will be given life that begins now and stretches into all eternity. So what sort of legacy are you looking for? That of Jesus? Or your own life? Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. May we have the courage to follow and obey. Amen.